You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have your company once again as myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall talk golf. And this week, just the one event, the Bermuda Championship on the PGA Tour is the solitary golfing event this week we're going to cover on this podcast. And it's a warm welcome to the man who nailed Hideki Matsuyama last week and has joined me on the podcast here, Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Yes, I think there were quite a lot of people on Matsuyama last week, so that was a nice one.
It was. He was a confident selection from you on this very podcast, and he duly obliged on home soil, finishing in style with an eagle on the 72nd hole to seal the deal in the Zozo Championship. It did feel like the majority of the golf betting fraternity were involved last week, so it was nice to see him dominate the event. And I guess you were sleeping more easily on Saturday night knowing that Cameron Tringali was hunting him down. That's the way I saw it anyway, Dave.
Yeah, I think I saw you say something on Twitter about that, that if you've got doubts about Matsuyama, then just look at the man below him and that'll ease them somewhat. But it was an interesting one, actually, because after this podcast on the Tuesday, the following day, they interviewed Matsuyama and he sounded terribly unconfident.
Yeah.
He said something along the lines of, if he'd been 10 out of 10 at Augusta, he felt all parts of his game were 1 out of 10, which opens up quite an interesting debate. How much credence do you give golfers when they're speaking? It's probably, I mean, I think it's, you've got to do it individually. You can't just come up with one size fits all method that will apply to everybody. But I would now know to take Matsuyama's sort of pessimism with a pinch of salt, because even afterwards he said, well, I only gave myself 3 out of 10 after he'd won. And in that same interview, by the end of it, he'd downgraded it to a 2.
Yeah.
So he kind of maybe looks at things a bit negatively, or is harsh on himself. So sometimes there'll be some golfers where they sound a bit down, then it will reflect in the play. But with him, you've got to now think, right, if he says that again, I'm not going to fall for him. And thankfully, I'd got my bets on by then. But I wonder if I'd gone in fresh, whether that would have put me off.
Yeah, I think that translates to his game on the golf course as well, doesn't it? Because how often do you see him, and it was the same in the Zozo Championship this week, when watching the highlights, he'll hit one and you'll think, oh, wow, this is offline. It's 10 feet from the hole. And that happened on numerous occasions. So he clearly wasn't feeling 100% about his game, but that didn't translate from a scoring perspective.
Absolutely, yeah. He's quite famous, isn't he, for sort of the hand comes off the club and you're thinking, where's this gone? And it plonks on the green about 20 feet away. So, yeah, he's one who's clearly got high standards of himself. And thankfully, I didn't get my head turned. But, he did the job really well. In hindsight, he was a really good price on in his homeland on a course where he'd been runner-up before. And, wonder what he can do now. I mean, sometimes you get the odd major win and that's it. And that's kind of them done for a while and they don't win for quite a while. But I can see Matsuyama maybe adding a second one quite quick. I think next year's major venues suit him quite a little bit. So he could be one to certainly watch at big prices in the majors, having got another win under his belt in a home event when the pressure was on. I think he's a guy to follow.
Yeah, I think a big Masters champion helps in that situation, doesn't it? If you're feeling a little bit of the pressure of, obviously winning in Japan's bigger for a Japanese golfer than it is for an American winning in America, because of the, I suppose, the media pressures with Matsuyama as well. And he's now got, I think, over half of all Japanese wins on the PGA Tour are him, Hideki Matsuyama. So he's an icon in that part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. He does respond to the pressure. I mean, if you look at some of his results in other majors, he's got a fourth and a fifth at the PGA Championship. which is good. It's at Southern Hills in Tulsa this year, which is an inland tree-lined course, which I think will suit him. At the US Open, he was runner-up at Erin Hills, and he's not finished worse than 26 in his last five US Opens, which is tremendous in that tournament. I think six of his nine US Opens, he's finished in the top 26. I mean, that is impressive stuff. So he's part of the US Open. It's about the temperament, isn't it? And I think he's very good. So that one's played at Brookline this year, Massachusetts. And then even the Open Championship, bizarrely, he's not made the weekend in an Open since 2017, which doesn't look great, except that there's a slight asterisk or two because he missed the cut in 2018 and 2019. There wasn't an Open in 2020. And he didn't play at Royal St. George's because he'd had COVID and felt he wasn't ready. So, yeah, there's a lot of miscuts in his Open Championship record, but he was 18th at St. Andrews in 2015, 10th at halfway after 66 in round two. So he's someone who could probably going to be a bit under the radar, though, yeah. I imagine. There's other people who you think more obvious fits for St. Andrews, but don't rule out Hideki.
Let's talk about this week then, Mr. Tindall. Hopefully you can go back-to-back in the Bermuda Championship, and if you take your clubs over, you might get a game as well, Dave, because of the stringent COVID regulations. It's a struggle for the PGA Tour to fill the field this week, and you're unlikely to see a weaker event all year long, and that includes opposite events, those running alongside a major championship or a WGC. And Matthew Fitzpatrick tops the betting here at 14-1. Christian Bezuidenhout is 16-1. Patrick Reed 22-1. Mito Pereira is 22-1. Seamus Power 30s. Hayden Buckley 33s. Adam Hadwin 33-1. A whole host of players at 40-1. I'll just spin through these very quickly. Matthias Schwab, Russell Knox, Guido Migliozzi, Danny Willett, Taylor Pendrith, Hank Lebioda, Chad Ramey, Patrick Rogers, Sahith Theegala, and Denny McCarthy, all 40s, and it's 45-1 and bigger the rest. And are these the sort of events you like to delve into and have a bet in, Dave, or do you prefer the higher quality tournaments?
B, I prefer. I don't like events like this. Some people do, and they love them and that, but they kind of struggle to get my juices flowing. I just see a set of terrible prices on everybody. And then the ones that are value tend to get hoovered up on Monday.
Yeah.
So by the time I've sort of turned my attention to it, there's sort of what you're feeding off scraps a little bit. So, yeah, I kind of had to push myself a bit this week to get really interested.
We'll come to the picks in a second. This is the third edition of the Bermuda Championship, and it's hosted by Port Royal Golf Course. The first two winners have been Brendan Todd and Brian Gay, which tells you kind of all you need to know about the demands of this particular course. It's a Robert Trent Jones design that is short. It's a par 71 that measures under 6,900 yards, which is kind of unheard of by modern day standards. The three par fives are all reachable by all the field, and there are a host of par fours that are a three-wood wedge for these players as well. Accuracy, more important than distance, and the ability to handle the wind has to be taken into account as well. That's the main reason we saw a big discrepancy in scoring from 2019 to 2020. And I get the feeling strokes gained around the green is important this week, and these greens are much slower than tour average too. Any thoughts on this event from a betting perspective? Obviously, you said we're kind of feeding from scraps, but the forecast calls for a bit of wind this week, and with those two winners, Gay and Todd, and the leaderboard has been populated by plodders to a certain extent as well, Dave, and you get the feeling there's a real fit around this venue.
Yeah, there does seem to be, although you can't sort of 100% go down that line and rule out anyone who's long and a bit wayward, because you've got, you know, other players. Wyndham Clark reached a playoff, didn't he, with Gay. We wouldn't put him down as that particular type. Scotty Scheffler has done well here. And it's more that it brings more into play, isn't it, than rules other players out.
Yeah.
If we're... when I look at those prices and say I'd take my eye off the ball in golf for a few months, there's one that leaps out a mile to me. It must be for you, surely.
Well,
if you ignore sort of recent events.
Yeah, Patrick Reed's the one, isn't he?
Patrick Reed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? 22-1 in this field.
Yeah, you'd see. Is he? Where do you stand with his game? I suppose, but I mean, it looks to be a nice fit for him, doesn't it? Because we all know that he's kind of, when he's on, he's the best short game exponent in the entire world, isn't he? And that includes those guys in the top 10 in the golf rankings, and the likes of Justin Thomas. He ranks so highly, but his performances have just fallen off a cliff, haven't they? Since the illness, really.
Yeah, so that's explains the price. But yeah, William Hill, a top price at 22-1, and I think I don't want to let that go, really. I think I will have a bet on him at that price. I mean you've spoken about Patrick Reed, the golfer of over the last few years, where he's won big events, way he's done way more than anyone in this field by an absolute country mile. He's got wins by the coast. He's won in Hawaii. He's won Torrey Pines. So how bad is his recent form? Well, is it that bad? I mean, is it so big? Because at the CJ Cup last time, he did open 71-66. That's not that bad, is it? It's not like someone who's shot a pair of 75s and you're thinking, oh, wow, what's going on here? Well, he didn't finish off particularly well, but I don't know. It's just a sort of top price at William Hill. It's kind of like
gotta have a bet on it.
Top price.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those prices where you can't let it go, Dave.
I think so. Yeah, in a week where you're kind of struggling to come up with much, and you're seeing, Seamus Power just 8 points bigger than Patrick Reed. I mean, come on, that's crazy on a lot of levels. And Mito Pereira the same price. It's one of them ones. You don't want to let go because he's so good, and you're thinking, what does he have to beat really here? Not a lot.
Yeah. Okay, 22-1. Is that your sole selection, Dave, or have you got another one?
I've got another one as well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to actually lead off with a 90-1 shot as my first pick this week, and Camilo Villegas is the...
Look to him.
Yeah, the one for me. I think he's always of a little interest in a field of this nature, and he pops a little bit when looking at those correlating courses, the likes of Chapultepec, Harbortown, this event at Port Royal, Sea Island and Southwind and Wylie. That's where he's logged a lot of his best results. You look through his... I mean, it's not recent history with Villegas necessarily, but he's won at PGA National, where the wind can blow at the Honda Classic, and he's also finished tied second at that course as well. He's finished tied second in the RSM Classic in the past on St. Simon's Island at Sea Island, and he often plays his best golf in windy conditions on coastal tracks, and he was sixth in that event, the RSM Classic, last year as well. And in this field, in his last 50 rounds, I thought this was really interesting. He's fifth overall in strokes gained around the green, so definitely ticks that box this week, and 14th in approach as well in his last 50 rounds in this field. And I think that's a really nice combination, really. I guess we're just looking for that bit of recent form, and he has that too. His 35th at the Shriners doesn't jump off the page, but you've got to like the way he achieved that result. He was poor off the tee, but that doesn't necessarily matter much here. And he gained over 3 shots on approach, 2.5 scrambling. I think that augurs really well for this test in these conditions, and I thought 90-1 was fair on Camilo Villegas in this field.
Yeah, I certainly, when I looked at, I think maybe I would lean towards first round leader. He's got some quite good Thursday scores, but he's someone who, if he's going to come back and put in a big performance like he's threatened to do over the last, I don't know, year or so, then this would definitely be one of those sort of courses. And you're not having to go down to sort of 40-1 to find out, are you? 90s is quite big.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair price. Your second selection?
Yeah, I'm going with Ryan Armour, who sort of fits the bill, doesn't he? This sort of course, a very straight driver, accuracy, as you said, counts much more than length. And he's just, you look at his driving accuracy stats in every tournament, he's sort of first, second in the top 4 almost every time. So he just keeps knocking it down the middle. Can get on a roll with a putter. I guess the proof in the pudding is it seems like this is a good course for him, and then you look at his record and it is a good course for him. 2019, he was eighth, shot middle rounds of 66, 65. Last year, he was eighth again with a 64. All eight rounds under par at this course, which is impressive. And then he's got some sort of little peaks of form over the last few months. At the Palmetto in June, he was eighth. At the Barbasol in July, he was fifth. Then he was sixth the following week at the 3M Open. So he had a nice little run there, shooting some low numbers, throwing in those 65s. Shot 64 at the Travelers as well, 64 at the Palmetto. He's just slightly gone off the boil in the start of this season, Fortinet and Sanderson Farms, 51st missed cut. But there's no big problem there. His worst round in those two events is a 72. So there's nothing. I think he's just waiting for this kind of course to come round again that will suit him.
Yeah.
And he's won before on the PGA Tour. 50-1, it's not an amazing price, but it's our price in this sort of field. And with those two eights, you could just say, well, we're eight places this week. He's landed the each-way money twice before, or certainly got a share of it, so why not again?
Yeah, I like it. Ryan Armour, Dave's second selection here at 50-1. I'm going slightly shorter in the market as my second pick. 45-1, David Lipsky. My second selection here. I can't think of a much better fit for Lipsky, if I'm honest, and he's coming off a very productive 18 months on the Korn Ferry Tour, where he won and finished second on a couple of occasions, and he's got a very good short game, and he's a good putter in general too as well. And that club actually went missing, the flat stick, when he missed the cut at the Sanderson Farms, but he bounced back from that missed cut with a fantastic fourth place finish at Valderrama. And if you're shooting 64 around Valderrama, Dave, it's fair to say your short game's in quite good order. And I just think he's undervalued in this field because he's not a fashionable name, David Lipsky. And I thought 45-1 was a fair price on Lipsky. He's my second pick.
Yeah, he's one I looked at that. Yeah, he's sort of, I don't know, priced up on his sort of lack of doing much in America, really. But that fourth at Valderrama, if he can bring some of that to the table, yeah, he'd have a good chance, wouldn't he?
What about right at the top of the betting then? Matthew Fitzpatrick 14-1, Christian Bezuidenhout at 16-1. Fitzpatrick coming off the win at Valderrama. Bezuidenhout has the short game to definitely contend here.
Yeah, I mean, those two and Reed are the sort of class acts, but Reed is a class above still. And what he's achieved. So I know the form is the question mark, but he's a lot bigger. It should suit. Fitzpatrick looks a good fit for the course.
Yeah.
But are you taking 14-1 on a non-PGA Tour winner?
Actually, I know you were. Didn't like the price on Seamus Power, but I actually think he'll go well this week at 30-1.
I think it's only because, when you compare it to Reed, it's only 8 points bigger. Yeah. Say Reed wasn't there, I'd think, well, that's probably fair enough.
Yeah, I get that. I do think he's a nice, very nice fit for the course, definitely.
Yeah, he's got some correlating course form, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I had a look at Dylan Fratelli at 55-1, just remembering that he finished fifth in the Open. Yeah, anyone who's got a top five in the Open to be 55-1 in this field.
Yeah.
Well, that seems big, but nice. He's not done anything at all since, really, and didn't do anything before that either. I did catch a quick line from him on a podcast where he said this season he's going to try and hit it straighter rather than go for distance. So maybe that'll help on this course.
That's interesting. There's a few that I quite liked at bigger prices. Nick Hardy's got some really good form. He's 60-1. He's a Korn Ferry Tour graduate, 25 years old, and he's played really well in his last few events statistically, just all around good play. He's 60-1. I looked at Brian Stewart as well, as one of those kind of from the Ryan Armour mould, who's got loads of good form on correlating courses at 80-1, but he hasn't played that well here yet, which is a surprise, and he's missed his last four cuts, so it's a bit of a leap of faith at 80-1 with him. And Adam Svensson, he's really interesting, statistical fit, Adam Svensson. And it's funny, he's attracted some support, but he's not got much recent form. But really good short game and putter, and 80-1 he is in this field as well. And I actually looked at Kiradeh Kapibarnaat as well, at 66-1. I thought he might go well this week.
Yeah, he's interesting. Where was it? Wentworth, did he?
Yeah.
He was on fire. Yeah, he can play well in these coastal events. I thought another one in that mold, another Asian Tour player or Asian player, Aniban Lahiri does well in this sort of tournament. He's done well at the Corrales Punta Cana, finished sixth there. And in this one, he's got some good form as well. He's on debut, he opened with 66 and then withdrew after a second round, 73. I guess it was an injury or something. Mm. Then he was 11th last year. Third at the Barbasol not too long ago. I thought Danny McCarthy was another one at 40s.
I nearly put him up, but I just thought 40-1 was just a bit skinny on Danny McCarthy. But
if I had a third pick, it's definitely him, because yeah. 15th and 4th at the course, and then he was second with a round to go at the Sanderson Farms only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he'll go really well this week. And he, in general, he's a fantastic putter, isn't he? He's renowned for his putting exploits, obviously. And I think he had a really bad putting round somewhere, and it was just a shock. But he's actually in the... I put in those courses, Chapultepec, Harbour Town, Port Royal, Sea Island, Southwind and Wylie, into a stats model, and he ranks number one in strokes gained total in 30 rounds. Admittedly, a lot of that's putting and short game, but that's what you need here. Which I thought was really interesting on those golf courses that I mentioned just a few moments ago.
It's like we both sort of half want to put him up. Does that equate to putting him up?
Yeah, a little. Maybe we should both have half a point each way on him at 40-1.
Yeah, I think we'd kick ourselves.
Yeah, it was the Shriners where he's actually been a little bit in and out with the putter recently, which is most unlike McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah, but around the green, he's been very good in a couple of his events. You've got to think, you know, he is just a good putter and he will come good. And 15th and 4th at the course, 63, the final round he's played here. That was the last round in 2020. Yeah, we've said enough, I think, to get him on board.
Yeah. Okay, shall we recap then?
Okay.
We'll both have half a point each way on Denny McCarthy at 40-1 as a little combined bet there. And I'm going to take a point each way, Camilo Villegas at 90-1. I do recognise what Dave was saying about first round leader as well, if you're looking at that market. And a point each way, David Lipsky at 45-1 as my two selections.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way and Ryan Armour at 50-1. Just a point each way as well on Patrick Reed at 22s.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. Slightly shorter podcast than usual with just the one event, but it's been fun catching up.
Yeah, it's as we record this on October the 26th. Now, hold on to your hats, because in a month's time, it's the match. A month today. Yeah.
I'm sure that will excited. be hotly debated on this podcast, I'm sure, in the upcoming months.
Prices are there, folks. 17-20, Bryson. 19-20, Brooks Koepka.
There you go. I think Koepka will win that.
Yeah, why?
I just get the feeling he's going to be... I suppose they'll both be highly motivated, but I think I can actually see DeChambeau being deferential towards Koepka weirdly in that match. We'll see.
I think that's the dominant sort of factor.
I think maybe. It's not something I'm going to be glued to the television watching, I don't think, Dave.
Well, you say that. You know, you might get caught up in the pre-match hype.
Don't forget, you can follow us both on Twitter at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner, our Twitter handles. You can check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app ahead of the golf this week. And don't forget, on the Bermuda Championship, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 8 places each way, which is a nice, nice concession this week as well ahead of the Bermuda Championship. Thank you for tuning into the podcast, folks. And myself and Dave will be back very, very soon. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.